Welcome back to another episode of Sales Transformation brought to you by Leadium. In this episode, we've got Jeff Torbeck back on the show to discuss the importance of making data-driven decisions in driving revenue. Colin, the mic is yours.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Sales Transformation brought to you by Leadium. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell, and today we've got Jeff Torbeck on. He is back for a second time. And the last time we had Jeff on, we talked a little bit about how the good old days of revenue at all costs does not work. And today we're going to dig into something a little bit different. But before we do dive in, Jeff, why don't you give people a little bit of background?
Awesome. Thanks, Colin. Good to be back on. Yeah, I'm the VP of Revenue at Gun.io. I've been in marketplaces for the last 10 years with stints at LinkedIn, Hired, built a go-to-market platform at Betts, and then a nursing platform at Clipboard. And now I'm back in the tech space. And so I'm really looking to grow the marketplace space because I think it's the nice median between, you know, doing it yourself or having to pay agencies for every single hire that you do.
Yeah. And you've got quite the experience and background in marketplaces specifically.
Yeah. I keep getting pulled back into it. I really want to find one that we can take to the moon and really kind of make a difference. Because I do think hiring in general can be a better experience for both sides, right? Companies can see less resumes. Candidates can, you know, either get to the know faster or at least start having conversations with companies. Because I think it's, especially through 2023, it was very frustrating to see a lot of people not have jobs for 9 months, reach out to 1,000 people or 1,000 job posts, never hear back. So it would be great to have a better way for people to find the opportunities that they really want.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, last time we talked about, you know, kind of how the landscape has changed a lot. And today we're going to dive into something that I know that, you know, you have a lot of information to share on, but it's about making, you know, data-driven decisions, you know, which I think is something that everybody is kind of leading towards as there's not just this, you know, revenue at all costs, which we talked about in the last episode, where we can just hire more people, you know, do more outreach and hopefully get those, you know, single digit conversions that everybody's hoping for.
Yeah.
So just kind of curious your thoughts. What are some of the data that should be looked at in order to make good decisions for driving revenue?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think when you think about the way I think about data-driven decisions is, and why it's so important today is we're seeing the shift to smaller teams, right? You don't really see companies that are like, hey, we're hiring 50 AEs to make our team this big. It's really like we want to hire 20 or we want to have an AE team of 10 or 15. And to be able to do that, you have to understand what your true metrics are, right? If you're inbound heavy or you're outbound heavy, how many leads are you really going to get? And can you feed everybody in the organization? Because there's two sides to this, right? Like you got to have enough leads and opportunities coming in. And obviously you got to convert them at a good enough rate to get to your number. But you also got to give people enough opportunities and people being the folks that work for you, enough opportunities that they have a clear path to their number, right? And yeah. I think what we're going to see over the next year or two, things like that, is a shift away from like the revenue at all cost motion, where the old school model was if 60% of your team hits quota, that's great. I mean, I remember that at LinkedIn and Salesforce and things like that. And I think we forgot that, like, well, then you have 40% of the org that is unhappy, right? And you can start to create these like toxic backroom chats about how they're not happy, they're not being fed, they have bad territories, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And so it's when you lead into the data, it's really looking into how do I give them a very clear path to be successful, right? One of the things I like to do is say, if you're going to raise quota, or you're going to lower quota, or you're going to change how you comp people, can you back it up with data to show how that doesn't affect them that much, right? Obviously there's change, and like when you raise quota, yes, it should be technically harder to get there, but you should be raising quota like when you know your ACV is going up, you don't have to double the amount of deals that you get and things like that, because is that really realistic for your organization to get, right? That's going to help you with profitability. Everybody's focused on CAC and all this other stuff to get there. And early on, like your CAC is usually pretty bad because you just got to spend like crazy to get out there. But the goal should be to lower that, right? To make that number as small as possible, whether that's through branding, like we talked about on the last call, social, building in public, or you know, the network ways where it's like you're building something so good that people are referring you to others. Hey, we really love this product. You should chat. That's how you can start to really lean in to this like multi-channel approach. But you have to have the data to say, like, how can we take advantage of these? And then are the changes that we're doing, whether it's to your inbound, whether it's to a referral program, whether it's to like networking for outbounding, is it actually changing how we're working, right? And whether you look at that month over month, quarter over quarter, you can't just look at it at the end of the year and be like, hey, we're going to give this a year to run. Like, you got to be able to have that data to understand when we need to make changes.
Yeah. So there's a lot to dig into there. I guess I think the question probably most people would have is, well, how the heck do I track all this data? Like, do you have some suggestions on how you do it? Tech stack recommendations, you know, things they could build out in the CRM. What's kind of, let's say, if we were to go basic level, and then kind of take it from there.
Yeah, I think the first thing is figuring out a way to get your CRM updated as good as possible. And I think we've all been salespeople before in ICs. We hate putting all the information in. I think there's like this big push to automate everything, but then automating everything doesn't really tell the whole story. So I think the first thing is like, whether you're using a Salesforce or a HubSpot or whatever, that's got to be updated because you can't start to slice the data that you're going from, right? If you sell an app that pulls data into it. So like for us, for example, our marketplace is an app. So that pulls data into HubSpot. It also pulls data into tools like Metabase and things like that, that help, that can help us run better reports to really understand, you know, what is the flow? What's our conversion rate? Things like that. I think for like basic level, it's like a some sort of CRM that's working well. And then a way for your reps to really input the data correctly. And one of the things I've used at a bunch of different companies, Scratchpad is very good. Basically automates the way that you put in data. You can also set up a bunch of triggers so that you can understand, did a close date change? Did, you know, this change, your forecast change, it automates a little bit on that side. I think the other way too, is you can start to build a lot of stuff out in Gong, right? Gong's got a great deal page for you to be able to put in, you know, whether you're training people on Medic, whether you use Sandler, really to understand, are the data points being there? And then can you track those through the process? I think those are probably the simplest as you go through. And then some sort of call recording, right? Gong's, you know, great. I love Gong. We use Gong at Gunion. I've used it at the last three companies I've been at. But there's great tools out there like Fathom, which is cheap. It's free right now. We'll see how long they do that for. But it's a great way to record your calls and then give you summaries so that you can then take those notes better. So you're not just on a call, just feverishly writing notes down, and you're not actually engaged in the call. I think that's some of the biggest changes that I've seen when I was in AE. I mean, I remember the like pages of notes I used to take early in my sales. And now it's like Gong captures most of it. Fathom catches most of it. You can ask them to summarize it for you. And like, oh, that's really interesting. I know a bunch of information that I didn't get. So I think those are pretty simple tools to start with. But I think it goes back to, if you don't have the data accurately in one place, you can't start to parse data out. And if you haven't identified the data that's important to make sure that you're, and you haven't defined that to your team of why it's important that you're doing it, they're not going to do it, right? I remember early in my sales career, it was always like, oh, they just, my manager just wants me to update Salesforce because it makes their job easier. And like some truth to that, but the reality is that's how people at higher levels are actually making the decision, because they can't be in a call every time like you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just to kind of recap, table stakes is having your CRM set up properly, right?
Yep.
Getting your reps to actually utilize it. Good luck with that. But there is tools that can make that easier. Conversational intelligence, tools like, you know, Scratchpad. And I think there's even others that can do a lot of that stuff that, you know, reps typically just don't want to do. That's going to, you know, get all of the data in the CRM, which is the biggest hurdle. But then, you know, what are some things that you should be looking at to be making decisions, you know, on, you know, what the next path forward is as far as for your organization, right? I think the thing that we can maybe dig into a little bit where I see teams struggle is not properly, you know, having good sales stages and exit criteria. Because that's, you know, that data is gold as far as why you're, you know, where your reps need help, maybe where they're getting stuck. Or for example, you know, there could be a particular ICP that you're targeting that's always getting stuck at a certain stage and maybe you shouldn't be targeting them. You know, having good sales stages mapped out with good exit criteria, I think is, at any level, can be very important because there's a lot of, data there that can validate the decisions you make forward.
Yeah, I think that's like spot on, especially because I think reps hold on to deals longer than they should because it makes them feel good to have a big pipeline. And I always tell all my teams, like, I'd rather have a smaller pipeline where like most of it closes, right? I don't need to have like some crazy inflated number. I know like the easiest way to forecast is like just have 3x of your number, right? That's like 101 from 10 years ago of how they looked at it. And to your point, the stages exits are really good, but I think it's like this push to discovery and really understanding like what truly makes it out of discovery and can you disqualify deals faster to your point based on, is it outside your ICP? Is it in your ICP? Are we just hoping this is going to close or do we really have kind of a framework, which is why I like to use like Medic or something like that to really understand, do we truly understand what we're trying to solve? And then if we do, do we understand how we can kind of get this over the line? And do we understand the people in there that we need to work with to get us over the line? I always say, like, when you're selling through champions and things like that, you need to have the will and the skill of that champion, right? Everybody's typically pretty willing if they're a true champion that they want to get it done. They see the value, but getting it done, actually asking for something out of budget, getting it approved, being able to present it to maybe your CFO that won't get on a call or something like that. That's the stuff that you really need to kind of lean into. And if you track those with like the right staging methodologies or the right, you know, Medic setup or something like that, then you can work with your RevOps team to really understand, okay, where are we missing mostly? Are we losing a lot of deals after discovery? Are we losing a lot of deals after demo? Why? And then you can start to work on training, right? And I think we've seen this kind of big flourish of sales enablement being important again, where forever most people didn't really lean into sales enablement, but you need to be constantly training your team and having somebody there that can take the findings of the data and help you create the right trainings and then stay on top of these people consistently. That's a huge gap that I think is closing very quickly. And I think we're going to see, and we've already seen it, like RevOps is ridiculously important versus what it was 5 years ago. And I think we're going to see the same thing with sales ops or sales enablement, to where they realize like managers and VPs and directors, they don't have time to train every rep every week. They definitely want to be involved in it, but you really need these folks that are really good at training to really help people understand the concepts and then be able to execute them really well so that your current team levels up their ability quarter over quarter, year over year.
Yeah. I mean, especially with this more of a trend of, you know, operating with leaner teams, right? Like your people are your most important asset. And so it makes a lot of sense to invest in, hey, let's make sure we're analyzing the right data to see where they need the most help and then enable them to make sure that they get that help, right? So that we can increase things like win rates. I mean, it still blows my mind that most companies think, hey, 20 to 30% win rate is actually good. You know, that means you're saying, hey, we can lose 80% of the time. And that's you know, good, or even great in some orgs, you know, which is ridiculous. You know, if you had properly documented sales stages and you had good, you know, disqualification criteria, you wouldn't have all this fluff in your pipeline, which ultimately spins your wheels and wastes a lot of time so that you end up actually losing deals that you shouldn't, that you could have won because you're spending all this energy where you shouldn't.
Thanks for tuning in. Please don't forget to like and share so we can help more people transform the way they sell.